in a series about being the body of Christ. I've called this series Being the Presence. Because our vision is to be light unleashed, to be the presence of Christ in our community, to be the visible, life-giving, good news-bearing, literal and actual body of Christ in our community, in Frederick City and Frederick County. And as I begin this morning, I want to remind you of a story that I told at the very beginning when I started this series 6 weeks ago, about the little girl woke up in the middle of the night, scared and frightened, and she woke her mother up, and together they did an inspection of the room and checked the closet and under the bed, make sure there were no monsters or anything there. But the little girl was still scared after her mother tucked her in, and as her mother left, she said, Mommy, don't leave me. And she said, Honey, I've got to go, but I'll just be in the room next to you. But remember, God is right here with you. And the little girl said, I know, Mommy, but I need somebody with skin. And that's what the incarnation is all about. The essence of our faith is the incarnation that God in Jesus took on human flesh. He became human, not just to die for us, but to show us how to live and how to die so that we will know how to live again. When the Hebrew people were enslaved in Egypt and cried out for help, God sent them a deliverer. He sent them Moses. And then on Mount Sinai, He sent them the Torah to spell out how it is to live, but it wasn't quite good enough. What we needed was a God with skin. And so God sent Jesus to us. God of very God, born of woman. God with a bod. God with skin. And the need for a God with skin didn't go away after the resurrection. That need continues. The incarnation of Christ wasn't just an event that happened 2,000 years ago and lasted for 33 years. It continues to be needed. So before Jesus ascended to the right hand of God the Father, He created a community. He created a new Israel, and He gave it the name, My Body. The body. The body of Christ. But a body without a spirit is just a lump of clay. So Jesus sent His Spirit to fill the body of Christ. And then, when that Spirit came, the body became a living, breathing thing. Just like in Genesis 2 when God created the man and breathed the breath, His own breath into him, and he became a nefesh hayah in the Hebrew, a living, breathing, alive thing. This is the essence of our faith. Christianity is an incarnational religion, an incarnational faith, an incarnational theology. And any time we take the skin away from it, we are not expressing the faith of Jesus Christ. Last week I introduced a term, a theist. A theist is a person who believes in God in heaven, a God who is spirit, a God who is transcendent. And Christians believe all of these things, but we believe more than just these things. We believe in a God who is in heaven, but we also believe in a God who is Emmanuel, God with us. We believe in a God who is spirit, but also a God who is incarnated, literally incarnus, in the flesh. That's what we believe. We believe in a God who is transcendent, who is utterly other than anything on earth. But we also believe in a God who is immanent, who is close by, who is dwelling among us, dwelling in us. There's a big difference between a Christian and a theist. A theist makes a distinction between the physical and the spiritual. But he puts them in opposition. The body is sinful, it's limiting, it must be subdued so that what is good and beneficial, the soul, the really good stuff, can flourish. And one day will flourish, finally, when the body dies and is buried, and the soul, the resurrected part, the only part that's resurrected, ascends to heaven to live with God forever. That's a theist. A Christian makes a distinction as well between the physical and the spiritual, but does not put them in opposition to each other, but rather recognizes that to minister on this earth, A body needs a spirit to be alive, and a spirit needs a body to touch real humans. And humans are both. We are body and we are soul, not in opposition to one another. It's both is what makes us a living thing. And one day, when this temporary body is worn out and dies and is buried, at the resurrection, we are told that the body is transformed. It's not done away with. It is transformed. We are given new bodies suitable for eternity. The theist believes that one day God will destroy all of this earth, and all that would be left is the eternal, the heavenly, a place for all the spiritual beings. But a Christian believes that the earth that God created was very good and is very good. And He will not destroy it, but He is going to redeem it. And eternity is not just heaven, but it is earth and heaven, the two together. And on the day on which all things are redeemed and restored and resurrected, heaven and earth will be one. And the eternal dwelling place of God will be with humans. And the eternal dwelling place of humans will be with God. That's what Christians believe. A theist prays and then sits back and waits for God to do something. Because to pray and then go do something is kind of like cheating, you know? It's like you're not willing to wait on God. You don't really believe God's going to do anything, so you pray, but then you take matters into your own hands. So don't ever do anything about your prayers. Pray. It's God's business to answer prayer and to do stuff. But a Christian prays and then puts skin on their prayers, knowing that God, for reasons that sometimes escape us, when we look at ourselves and we look at each other with all of our flaws and our weakness and our lack of belief and our lack of faith, so for some reason, God chose to do His work through His people, the body of Christ. Talk about a mystery. That He would choose us, the weak and the foolish of the world, to do His work in the world, but that's what He does. A Christian prays and then puts skin to their prayer. A theist looks at all the problems of the world. Little children starving, villages whose only water source is so contaminated that while it gives them the water that they need, it also fills their bellies with parasites, and eventually the water that they need for life will eventually kill them. Or women who are regularly raped and enslaved and not allowed to speak or be educated. Or children who are either kidnapped or bought from their poor parents and then used as prostitutes until they are all used up. A theist looks at all of these problems and more and asks, why doesn't God do something? Why is a good God and a powerful God allowing this to happen? A Christian looks at these problems and says, God, we got to do something. And then a Christian rolls up their sleeves. And they go where they don't want to go to see what they don't want to see and do the work that needs to be done, empowered by God's Holy Spirit. A Christian puts skin to their faith. And this is no new theology or new teaching. This is what the church has always taught. But there has always been a stream of pure theism in our teaching and our practice. You can always find it. And I'm not sure that over the last few hundred years that it hasn't gotten worse. But it's always been there. It's not a new problem. Listen to this very familiar passage from James chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 14 through 18. James says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what good is that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. Someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I, by my works, will show you my faith. See, James even here is battling theism. That pure theism that separates the spiritual from the incarnated spiritual. There's the theism he's battling. Go in peace. Eat your fill. Be warm. God will take care of you. I'll pray for you, brother. I'll pray for you, sister. I'll remember you in prayer. Now go away so I can be spiritual. That's what James was battling, and the church still battles it today. It's a lot easier. It's a lot easier to pray and only pray for someone. But James says the kind of faith that only prays, only issues a blessing and then does nothing. He says that kind of faith, not only is it dead, but if you go down a few verses, you know what he says it is? He says it's demonic. Read a few verses down. You believe? Even the demons believe. It's demonic, he says. You cannot separate faith from works. In other words, you cannot separate the spiritual from the physical, the earthly from the heavenly. You cannot have a disembodied faith. Faith needs skin. That is the incarnation, the ongoing incarnation of Jesus Christ, living in us, filling us with His Spirit, sending us out in His name. We have declared that every child in Frederick County should experience the love of Christ by being fed and clothed and sheltered and educated in a nurturing environment. But we cannot just pray for this to happen and then hope that God will do something about it. We have to put skin on our faith. And with God's help and with all of us, the body of Christ working together, this is exactly what we are going to do. I want to end this message and I want to end this series by showing you a video that was made by a young filmmaker named Sharon Irving. And this video captures the very essence of an incarnational theology, an incarnational gospel, an incarnational church. I've actually had this video for a couple of years, waiting for the right moment to show it. And for the last couple of months, it's been sitting on my credenza by my computer where I do the majority of my work in my office. You know, it's just been sitting there. And you know how it goes when something just sits there for a while. After a while, it just blends in. You don't see it, you know. But the other day, I saw it. It didn't just blend in with the other stuff on my credenza. And I said to myself, I ought to watch this again. And I watched it again and I realized this was the moment. This is when we need to see this video. Because like I said, it captures the very essence of incarnational theology, an incarnational gospel, and an incarnational church. It's called 1,000 Questions. So I pray that you will watch it prayerfully and with open minds and with open hearts. Would you take a hymn book and turn to number 43? We're not going to sing it. But I want you to look at the last line, the last verse. All right? Number 43. Let's read it together. Huh? Last verse. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus, who died, shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one. It's not new theology. This theology has been around. It is the very essence of what Christianity is about. But what it means to follow Jesus Christ. You know, at the end of every service, we issue an invitation. It's an invitation to come. It's an invitation to come to Jesus. It's an invitation to come and let Jesus into your life. And the language good. The language is fine. It's okay to use it. As long as we understand that the invitation to come to Jesus is an invitation to go with Jesus. It's not just an invitation to come to a nice, comfy place where we sing songs every week and hear sermons and eat spaghetti with chocolate sauce on it and stuff like that and have a good time with each other. That the invitation to come to Jesus is an invitation to go with Jesus. It's a commissioning. And when you accept that invitation, you're accepting that commissioning in your life. I want you to do something. I want you to stand up. And this part's going to make you a little bit uncomfortable, but it'll be one of those uncomfortable things where you laugh, all right? But I want you to turn around and just look at each other, all right? Turn around, look at each other, look at each other in the face. Person in front of you, the person behind you, the person next to you, maybe one of the first times you've seen that face, or it may be a face you see every morning when you get up. Look at each other. If it's going to get done, God has said, this is how it's going to get done. Through the lives and the faces of the people that you're looking at right now. We are the body of Christ, filled with the Spirit of Christ. And when the Spirit of Christ fills the body of Christ, there is life, and there is life for all of eternity, and there is hope. And there is peace. So we're going to have an invitation. And our invitation hymn is number 396. When the Church of Jesus. And if you want to accept this commissioning in your life. To be the body of Christ. To be filled with the Spirit of Christ. To, in the name of Jesus, to go and to make a difference in our world. Then we invite you to come so that we can commission you to go not in front of us, but to go with us. The invitation to join the church is the same invitation. This is a church that's going to be going. If you want to join our church, that's what we're going to be doing. The invitation to be baptized is the same thing, right? If you've never experienced believer's baptism, you're being baptized in a new way of life. The old things are past, and behold, all things are new. Let's listen to what the Spirit is saying in our lives. And if you're ready to come forward, we invite you to sing, to come as we sing. Let's sing together, number 396.